appreciated the week to be able to speak to NDC about their report and to have some of the questions answered. I do still have remaining questions that aren't answered, considering the fact that the pilot that's before us to approve does not exactly reflect NDC's recommendations, but is an agreement that was reached, you know, based on those recommendations, but outside of the recommendations. But again, I'm going to save most of my comments for the floor.
Okay. All in favor of moving this to the floor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so we have Bartels, Walter. Gavars, were you motioning to the floor or no? Yes, okay. And I just want to make a couple comments. I'm going to move this to the floor as well, even though I'd been previously accused of postponing for no good reason. And again, to the point that Legislator Bartels made, we do appreciate having the meeting set up with the third party review, but all of our essential outstanding questions have not all been answered. So we will be moving this to the floor. And I am thankful for a couple of things. One, my suggestion on third party was acted upon by the county exec. I appreciate that he, you know, did engage a third party to do the review. I think the current proposal, while we haven't had it validated by that third party reviewer, there is an additional $2 to $2.5 million that dollars that originally would not have been submitted had this review not occur. So I am thankful for that. So I will be moving it to the floor, but I will be a no on the floor. So thank you. All right.
Madam Chair, may I just say something real quick?
Please.
So I initially was a no. I was not really that in favor of it. I will say what is changing my mind slightly, although I have a lot of concerns. Please don't get me wrong. I am very concerned about this building and this us owning it. Mr. Wiedemann and I had a long conversation about this. And
we're talking about the pilot, Legislator Gavars.
Oh, I'm on the wrong thing completely. Sorry. Yes. Wrong one.
Let me confirm your vote on the pilot. You're a yes. Okay. All right. So we had two no's, Legislator Walter and Bartels. Okay. Now we're on to 392, authorizing the purchase of buses for the County of Ulster, New York at a maximum estimated cost of $1,749,092. And authorizing us bonds for said county to pay.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor? I'm sorry?
These are all 90% reimbursed, are they not?
I believe so. Can we get a confirmation from the administration?
Mark?
This is a bond.
It's a bond.
This is a regular bond. This is just for this is the bond for the buses, right?
Yes. Yeah. The purchase buses.
Yeah.
There is grant funding associated, John, correct?
Everything with the buses is grant funding. It's federal and state.
Right, we have the bond for it, and then they reimburse the money, and we pay off the bond. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, okay. All in favor?
I just wanted to make sure that was clear with everybody else.
Aye.
Okay. All in favor? Opposed? Unanimous. Okay. Resolution 399, the amending the 2020-2025 capital improvement program, establishing capital project number 576, Ulster County Enterprise West, amending the 2020 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any questions? Legislator Bartels.
Again, I'm going to reserve probably the bulk of my comments for the floor, but I want to first thank Tim Wiedemann for taking the time. I know taking us out there today, and I know he was out there yesterday because I was supposed to be out there yesterday, and I very much appreciate getting to see the building in person after a very long time, because it's been a long time for me. I am going to be a no on this resolution, although I have to say I do, I appreciate very much many of the proposals that I've heard, even in passing today, the idea and the vision behind this as a possibility for an economic driver for the county. And I believe it can be. I just very firmly believe that this is something that needs to be handled not by the county. I do not want the county to be in the position of leasing, of owning, of occupying this building. I believe we need to expedite getting it off the county rolls. And my hope really is that we can have an RFP process or some kind of process whereby we actually really test the market interest and see what's out there. I've said before publicly, and I'll state again, I think a partnership with the county, even in the form of the county contributing the building to a great idea with certain clawbacks and certain provisions and certain guarantees, is something that I could strongly get behind. But in this moment, my no vote is going to be a no vote of caution. I do not want to head down a slippery slope of spending more and more money on this project in a time when I think we can least afford it. But after today, I'm very optimistic that this building has a future. And I should actually say these buildings and this property. So thank you, Tim, for allowing me to see that. And again, maybe I won't have to speak very much on the floor since I spoke more than I intended now, but my no vote is a no vote with optimism. And it's a no vote of again, of fiduciary caution in this extraordinary financial time.
Any other comments? Legislative Walter?
Actually, Chairman Donaldson had his hand up first.
Oh, I didn't see it.
It's okay. She can go ahead. I'm not.
Go ahead, Eve.
Okay. So I'm also, well, I'm not sure. I am going to be a no vote for this on the floor. And I want to just sort of repeat similarly, I'm very optimistic about what can happen in this space. I think what bothers me the most was the feeling of, I received so much differing information and contradictory information that made it very challenging for me to really understand what was really going to happen with this space. I really appreciate Tim having that tour yesterday, but at the same time at that tour, you made it very clear that this was not about moving anyone in. This was really just about the space. I wasn't sure. I got two messages, one that it was necessary for safety, but then I got another one that it was a way to improve our ability to sell it. And so I'm not sure which one that is. And as much as it was not about leasing it, I spoke in length to Jim Hyland, who was basically told that if all goes well, he could expect a lease from us in February. And so that it just, there's so many different messages I'm getting that it makes me very uncomfortable, and that my sense is, not that I'm against this, but that I would prefer to hold it and wait and see what the real path is that we're going on and then make that decision. And as in terms of it being for security's sake, the building is in very good form. I'm happy to see that. I'm happy to see that despite it being mothballed, there's been no mold there, you know, that it has been held up very well. And so I do feel safe that it has the safety and security that if we did pause on this, it would be okay for a few months.
Chairman Donaldson and then Legislator Ronk.
Well, I think Legislator Guevara had his hand up from the very beginning.
I'm sorry. It's hard to get everybody's hand up. No, so why don't we do Guevara, then Donaldson, then Ronk. Okay. Sorry, Guevara, John.
That's quite all right. At least this time. It's been a very long day, and unfortunately, that's why I couldn't make it for the tour today, because I had a lot of problems at work. So I'm a little bit frazzled. So, but I did want to say some things on this. So initially, I was a no. I still believe firmly the government should never be in the real estate business. but we are unfortunately in this position. But after speaking with Mr. Wiedemann and their and his commitment from the exec's office that they will not move any county departments into this space without legislative approval, I'm willing to take a chance here in order to move this forward. I do think, though, to what Legislator Bartels had said, we need to come up with a direction in what we want to see at this building, come up with an RFP or an RFQ, and we need to get this back on the tax rolls quickly. I'm not looking for a fire sale either, but I do want to see this has to go in the right direction for the county. So I'm going to be optimistically a yes.
Chairman Donaldson.
Yes, I mean, I support this, and there is a certain amount of security still being taken care of along with improving the building. They are both go hand in hand. The building, if that can get into and we can have a rental in there that's going to pay until we have a sale on this building, I don't think that's a bad thing. You can, in other words, I don't know of any developer that if we did an LDC and put it out, gave it to them, and then the RFQ goes out, similar to what we did with Golden Hill, we could do something similar to that. And I don't know of any developer who's going to say, oh, no, I don't want a building that's 60% occupied and giving me rent right now. I think that would be a very positive thing, actually, you know, once we go out to do this. And I mean, I don't agree with a long-term process of us being the, leasers, leasing to somebody. I don't think that's good, but I think on a short-term basis, while we're working through this, the repairs of the buildings and things of that nature, I think it makes sense. I know that in some places, I mean, the city of Kingston, for instance, they own the Bulkhead down in the Roundup, and they lease that out. And they've been leasing that out. And in fact, the process, I remember, I think approximately 36 years ago, when the people that were leasing for commercial property in the on the Bulkheads in the Roundout area, we negotiated with them and forced them to build fix Bulkhead and put in more docks. And as a result of that, if you were down there in the Roundout area 36 years ago, you would see almost nothing there. Today, it is a booming spot that people all summer, it is, there's people coming from all over the country. They come by boats. And it is the only place between New York City and Albany where you can go get off your boat and go to various restaurants. It's been an attraction, and that is from the city of Kingston leasing. So, I mean, it's not the best scenario many times, but it doesn't mean that it's always a bad scenario. And I think for the short term, it could be a good scenario with that Tech City building until we actually work through what we're going to do with that for the RFQs, what we want in the future. So I'm a yes.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I'm just gonna keep my thoughts to myself.
Okay. I do have a couple comments that I'd like to make. And while I do appreciate the tour yesterday by Tim, I really was impressed with the condition of the building, given everything we have heard. But I do kind of want to take us through a timeline. I mean, I'm looking at the fourth whereas in the resolution, and it reads about the phases A and B outlined in the capital plan for 2021 and 2026. And the fact that, which will secure the building and further and prevent further deterioration, as well as complete necessary repairs to meet minimum building occupancy standards to building 201. If the statement had stopped at further deterioration, then it would be clear that what we're trying to do is preserve the building, but it didn't. It went on to speak to minimum occupancy requirements. We then had a conversation about, we're being asked to improve systems before, a structural soundness. We, back in June when this first came up, we said, let's get a structural engineering report. Let's understand, before we bring the building online, does this make the most sense? We were assured we were spending $350,000 or approximately thereabouts And, you know, that's all they were going to be asking for. Yet here today, we're being asked for another $400,000 approximately, bringing total expenses for just this year alone to $750,000, not including making towns whole and the school districts whole. You know, then we've had the conversation, we heard about safety issues requires the improvements that, you know, the current upgrades are being done to obtain what is called a temporary occupancy as determined by our own safety department. You know, are we setting safety standards for showing the building or for occupancy? I think the latter. Yet there's room, and this we saw when we were going through, there's a room approximately maybe the half of the size or three quarters of the size of legislative chamber filled with sound equipment. So it looked like soundboards, musical instruments, a number of those hard cases, and quite a few of them. I don't know how many, but, you know, if we're concerned about liability, you know, supposedly they signed a waivers, then why couldn't anybody visiting to purchase a potential for a potential sale do the same? You know, there's no reason the building can't be brokered for a sale in its current state without spending another dime of taxpayer money. I have reached out to developers I know in the city, people in the industry. I've had many conversations about the potential of this building and putting a tenant in the building, having them have to spend money for a build out of the space so it meets their needs is not worthwhile unless you have a long-term lease. And a long-term lease is not always prudent when you're trying to sell it to a developer. Likewise, improving systems for occupancy without knowing use is a waste of taxpayer money. What if there's if a developer wanted to do something different, they could do it more cost effectively and efficiently without the taxpayers putting another dime in here. For all those reasons I just mentioned, I really thought long and hard about this and what is the best use of taxpayer money. And I just don't believe that this is. Legislator Gavaris.
So thank you for what you just said. It just actually brought in sort of an idea to mind, and this is probably to the execs team there. Is there a way that this can be, we approve this potentially tonight, but your conversations with the various tenants that you're already in discussions with, that they, as an abatement for their rent in the same one-for-one relationship cost-wise, they would do these upgrades because they can do them far less expensive than we can do them for. So if there's issues with HVAC, if there's issues with plumbing, stuff that you're already planning on doing, can that be done in lieu of their rent?
Deputy Ryder.
It's a building owned by the county. It has to go by prevailing wage regardless. They can't do it for any cheaper than we can do it. It's a county owned asset. So that even if they're leasing it and they're doing the work, it still has to be done under prevailing scale.
Is that a county? I'm sorry. Is that a county law rule or is that municipal in general?
That's general municipal law as far as prevailing wage.
Well, and I can tell you the Village of Elmville must have done something illegal then, because the fifth floor of their property, when they leased it out to the Nevely project, they did all the renovations and none of it was done at prevailing wage.
That's an Elmville issue. Yeah. But here's what I would say. I mean, you know, again, this is the conflicting information. No, we're not talking about occupancy. Maybe we are. Before we move forward, I mean, we got assurances that in our tour yesterday that this was about safety in the building and allowing people to walk through the building. It wasn't being, the improvements were not for the county to become a landlord. Listen, there is a lot of money happening and a lot of development money coming out of New York. We all talked about how this area has been a target for people exiting the city, coming here. With these individuals and their entrepreneurial spirit, there's also development dollars out there. We have not even explored that, and we're being asked to put taxpayer money in a very difficult time into another building when we haven't even explored all the avenues. What we have is some great ideas and opportunities, But, you know, at a time where we have no idea what the state cuts are, we're putting money into something that may or may not pan out or be worthwhile to whoever purchased the building. I feel like we're putting the cart before the horse here. And if it were your money, would you be doing it this way? I don't think so. Chairman Donaldson.
If it was my money, I would be doing it because it has to be done. That's the way I kind of look at it. It's we own the building, it's ours. We have to get it up to the point where it's usable, or at least safe enough that it can be shown. And I believe that that makes sense. And I don't have, again, well, everybody else has a problem with a rental. I don't have a problem with short-term rentals, even long-term rentals. I do not know of a developer that would be upset that they had renters in the property. I really don't see that. I mean, that means they automatically have income. If I'm going to buy a piece of property and somebody says, well, I got 60% of it rented for you or whatever it may be, 20% of it rented for you already, they say, oh, that's great. But you could actually do that when you deal with the LDC, when you put together a RFQ, you put that together and you make that understandable with that RFQ that you're going to do certain things. And whoever the developer is would have to say that if you have somebody and then whoever you lease to into once that you could easily have them knowing exactly what those terms are, that we are going to be selling this property in the spring or whatever. We're going to start the process of that. And so therefore we create certain contingencies in there when you do that. I mean, that's doable. And I don't see that as something that can't be accomplished because it can. So my mindset is this is a piece of property and this part of the county. And it has a lot of effect on this part of the county. And I really don't feel that it should be blocked from going to the body as a whole. So other members of the legislative body can also vote on this. So they can weigh in on their vote. The ones that it affects, like people.
We haven't taken a vote, Chairman, so we don't know if that's the case. We haven't taken a vote yet. So let's take the vote before you start assuming.
I didn't assume anything. I'm just saying I don't think it should be blocked in that manner. And it should be allowed for other people to vote in on this particular issue because it has a lot of effect for people in Kingston. It has a lot of effect for people in Saugerties, Ulster, East Soapis. Maybe not so much some of the other areas, but it does have a lot of effect on us.
Legislative Walter.
Thanks. Back to my point, and it's just a question for Tim or Mark. So when Jim Hyland was assured that if all goes well, he'd be able to sign a lease in February, were there other changes or renovations that went along with that assurance?
Other changes and renovations to the building?
Other than what you're asking for here, were there other, since we didn't know that there was this promise, you know, with soft handshake that February he'd be able to start the process of a lease. Were there, in that conversation, had you identified other things that the county would do to the building to allow him to begin? I mean, because I know not only does he think it's starting February, he's already starting working with an architect and other people. And so was there a promise or an assurance that other changes would be made to the building prior to him signing that lease in February?
I just want to set the record straight to say that there wasn't a promise that there'd be a lease in February. There was an explanation that if he was serious about pursuing use of this space, the earliest that any lease arrangement could happen is February, based on the assumption that the property would need to be surplused in order for that to happen. So that's the timeline that we laid out in conversation with him. There was no discussion about any other commitments, any commitments at all on behalf of the county.
Okay. And just also let you know that he did also inform me that he would prefer to have conversations about purchasing the property. And I encouraged him to reach out to you and let you know that.
He did, and happy to have those conversations as we talked about yesterday. I think you are good. You've pointed out clearly that we have confused this issue by merging the conversation about disposition and ownership of the property with the conversation about today's capital project. And so eager to get through this conversation and then shift into that conversation about ownership.
Yeah, I guess then my ask is, if we approve this, there is a whereas that refers to this being about makerspace. And I feel like that ties into the confusion, because it's referring to an actual lease or use. And that just seems inappropriate if we're really just talking about improving the boilers.
Which speaks to what I said earlier. If it's about deterioration of the building, then that's what it says, but it doesn't. It goes a step further and says about minimum occupancy standards, which really indicates exactly where we're headed with this. But any other questions, concerns? Legislator Cahill?
Thank you, Chairman Archer. I just want to emphasize that I believe that this is just the first step in a long journey for this property. We're talking about something that's probably going to take us years to, you know, get off of our books and get into a private developer's hand. And this is the first step. And I want to just reemphasize that I think it's crucially important that the county shows that they're a willing partner in trying to develop this site initially. That will send a good signal to the people out there, the developers who may be looking at it, for the folks who may want to purchase it, for a private development corporation, just to show that you have a willing partner with the county to say, yeah, we're going to do as much as we can. Everybody understands the financial restraints we're under right now, you know, and that would just, to me, emphasize how seriously we're taking this. You know, economic development, in my opinion, has been a little bit lagging in the county. And to me, with you couple this with the Kingstonian and the Golden Hill housing, those three things in a year we're going to be doing here. Those are three tremendously positive things for the county right now, in my opinion. And they send an excellent, excellent message out to anybody who's looking to come to the county and build something or invest in the county. And I think that this is just one small step in that direction. And I would encourage everybody on this committee to please consider that and support it for that reason. Thank you.
Legislator Bartels.
Yes, you know, I certainly respect Legislator Cahill's comments, but I also want to say that I hope that this doesn't take years to get off our books. You know, walking through the building today, I was very impressed with the condition it's in, and I would again reiterate and strongly, strongly encourage, if not potentially by resolution eventually, that we go out to an RFP to actually see what interest is out there. Because when we talk in the absence of actually testing those waters, now I know, or I assume, just even based on conversations that I overhear in these committees or that I listen to in these committees, that there's a level of conversation happening with different groups, different organizations, different makers. One was present at the walkthrough today. And there's a lot of great ideas out there, but we should really formalize that request and see what comes back. You know, Tim Wiedemann today mentioned that over the years, the county has received multiple requests on this property when it was not in our ownership in terms of use of the property, rental of the property, purchase of the property. Again, when we speak about these things in the abstract, there's not very much to sink our proverbial teeth in, but I would like to actually get the facts, put out an RFP and see, we can craft that however you want, but see what comes back. And I hope, but strongly suspect, that it will not take years to move this property, not based on what I saw today. I think there is a lot of opportunity and we could certainly craft a very strong and compelling partnership. And when I say partnership, again, I simply mean in terms of the building itself. You know, the minute this building is off our rolls, the county begins to save essentially $500,000 a year in taxes that will then be taken up by the private sector, by the developer, by whatever organization takes this on. And I suspect they're out there, but let's find out. Let's go ahead to that next step, not lock into one thing in advance of knowing what all is out there.
So I just want to clear up, when I said multi-year, I didn't mean just that site. I meant both sites, because I've been living with this for 20 years. So, you know, I know that it's going to be a big, long project to get this whole thing flipped over. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. No, thanks for the clarification too.
Legislator Corcoran had his hand up.
Yes. Again, I respect everybody's opinion, and Legislator Cahill beat me to the punch, but I respect everything he said. We did look at this in the Economic Development Committee, and you know, I would put my money into it. So again, we did pass it through Economic Development, and I would just like the opportunity for this to get to the floor so a full legislative vote could happen. Thank you for my time.
Yes, Legislator Bruno.
Yeah, I got a question and a comment. One, I think that, I mean, I looked at the proposals that came to me yesterday. I was looking at the dollar signs on, you know, the systems that are being replaced. And I kind of question a lot of the proposals, whether they were for a temporary CFO or whether they were just a minimum that we need to do to the building to make it winterized. There's a big difference. To winterize a building, you have to make sure that the heat and the plumbing infrastructure and the electric is taken care of. That I get. But spending thousands of dollars on ceiling tiles and floor tiles and things of that nature, I don't think fall under the winterization. I'm all for saving this building and putting money into it to prevent it from deteriorating to the point we can't market it. That being said, have we looked at, this might be my own ignorance about reading enough, maybe, but an independent engineering study of the building to see what it really needs versus what would be a wish list to make it more marketable. There's two different things, if you understand what I mean. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see something along those lines so we really know what we're getting for our money. $400,000 is a lot of money to sink into a white elephant. I hate to see us become permanent landlords, but at the same time, I don't want to take a building that's, you know, worth several million dollars and turn it into a pile of rubble because we didn't want to maintain it. It's probably one of the most difficult decisions all of us have. And I hear Chairman Donaldson and I hear Brian Cahill, Legislator Cahill and Legislator Corcoran. And I kind of agree, and as well as Legislator Bartels, with all of you. You know, they all have good points, but I think we need to have a baseline. And I think that baseline comes from an independent, not from our public works department, because I'm not saying that they have an agenda or don't have an agenda, but I think an independent study to have it looked at to see what it really needs. Based on, I haven't done the walkthrough. You guys have, some of you have, and you have, you know, described it as being in really good shape. Now, again, that's from an amateur eye on the mechanical side of it. I come from the professional side of the mechanicals. I mean, that's what I do for a living. So I just want to make sure that we're getting the most for our money.
Deputy Ryder.
So the proposals put together have been put together by Bob Buser, who's been our Deputy Commissioner of Public Works and done magic in many of the buildings. And so he put together the list of work that needs to be done. If you were looking at a true engineering study, the type that you're talking about, Legislator Bruno, and that's been raised before, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in a study alone. And so this is the work that needs to be done to bring it up to a minimal level for a temporary CFO, which is required by our safety department in order to get people in, coming in and out of the building on a, you know, to show it, to do other things, to for a temporary CFO, and also to do some winterization. But the type of study you're talking about is very expensive.
Legislator Ronk.
Thank you. You know, I've heard a lot of, you know, what's been described as confusion from several legislators in the committee about the goals and you know, and what this is going to do. And then, you know, Legislator Bruno's comments, I feel like compelled me to speak up. You know, I don't know that any of those things are mutually exclusive. I don't know if, you know, we would do one thing for, you know, making sure that we don't lose the property for the winter, another for the temporary C of O, another, you know, in order to be able to show it to potential, you know, folks who might want to purchase the building or rent the building or to rent it out. You know, regardless, if we're going to do anything with this building, either as the county as a landlord or with the county putting offices in there or with the county, you know, selling it to a private developer, you know, all of this work needs to happen. It's not like we're putting money into something that's going to, you know, depreciate and lose value. Any money that we put into this is going to make the property appreciate either in terms of rentals or in terms of final sale. Now, yes, as a municipality, we're going to have to pay prevailing wage, which, you know, means that, you know, the appreciation and value of the property is not going to be that of, you know, at which a private, you know, developer would be able to do it, because they would be able to do it without prevailing wage. And I'll put aside the fact that, you know, most of the people on this committee who, you know, have had concerns with it talk about living wage and wanting prevailing wage to be, you know, more prevalent across all industries, including private industry. But I'll put that aside. You know, I really feel like we're getting lost a little bit in the final use of the building and not appreciating the fact that, you know, this is work that needs to get done no matter what the end result is. You know, I'm sure that we'd all like to know what the end result is right now, but we don't. That's not where we're at right now. Right where we're at right now is this is an important investment for the county to make no matter what we do moving forward.
Legislator Haynes.
Is the commissioner of maintenance who is advising you on whatever upgrades or necessary repairs need to be placed in that building?
I didn't catch the question. I'm sorry. Can you?
Is the current commissioner of maintenance advising you? Is that where you're getting your advice from regarding the upgrades and whatever needs to occur in that building?
Yes, Bob Buser, the Deputy Commissioner of Public Works, who's in charge of buildings and grounds.
Thank you.
Okay, on the resolution 399, all in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? We have three opposed, Archer, Walter, and Bartels. Everyone else is a yes. Resolution 400, which is the bonding for the Enterprise West building of $399,282. I'll take a motion.
A moment.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Three opposed, Archer, Bartels, and Walter. Resolution 402, authorizing the reconstruction of the Maltby Hollow Bridge in the town of Olive in the county of Ulster at a maximum estimated cost of $1,330,000 and authorizing the issuance of a $1,330,000 bond of said county to pay the cost thereof.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Resolution 427, the sponsor did not consent to the amendments made last night, and so we'll be taking no action on that tonight. Resolution 345, again, that was not discussed in laws and rules last night, and so we're going to hold, that's going to be postponed, taking no action tonight. We have special ways and means. We have to have a special meeting on voting on the budget amendments. The way it's looking now, we're going to be looking at Wednesday and Thursday as the day for hearing about all the amendments. And we're proposing either looking at Friday the 20th. Do you feel that gives you enough time? We had that day set aside because we thought we were going to do amendments as well, but I think we'll probably be able to get it done in the 2 days. So I wanted to take a temperature. Do we want to use that Friday for decisioning of the amendments, or do we want to look at Tuesday the 24th? So I put that out to members of Ways and Means.
Can you state the 2 days again? It would be Friday or
It would be Friday the 20th, which we had already set time aside because we thought we might need it for amendments, or it could be Tuesday the 24th. I'm not sure. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, what time on Tuesday?
It would be Tuesday, like 5 o'clock.
Can you clarify what time it was set aside on Friday?
Friday started at 1 in the afternoon. Legislator Ronk?
I can tell you that I personally would rather not have the third day in a row where I've got to take the afternoon off of work. If we were able to do something in late afternoon or early evening on Tuesday, I would much prefer that.
Okay. Chairman Donaldson?
I concur with the Tuesday. I think it also gives us time to, you know, get any questions answered that weren't answered and so on and so forth. And so, you know, I would prefer the Tuesday also, late afternoon or whatever is, you know, doable for others.
Okay. Legislative Walter and then Haynes?
Same. Prefer Tuesday. Thanks.
Okay, Legislator Haynes.
Yeah, I prefer Tuesday also. So, thank you.
Good. So it sounds like everybody is agreeing on Tuesday. Great. What time do we want to get started? How early can people get started? I want to be sensitized to everybody's work schedule. What's the earliest?
I think we need to start at like 4 or 3 o'clock, because if we're not going to do Friday, we're always bogged down in these meetings. So we're going to have to start early enough.
Okay, what if we say 3? Does that work with folks? Can everybody accommodate that timetable on Tuesday the 24th, 3 o'clock? Raise of hand if you can.
I'd rather be closest to 5 as possible, but I mean, that's better than 1. You know, I'm missing work for it, so.
Why don't we compromise on 4?
I can do 4.
4? Okay, so let's say we're going to do it Tuesday the 24th at 4 o'clock. That's when we'll decision all the amendments that we review tomorrow and Thursday. All right. Great. Thank you, everyone. I'll take a motion.
Chairwoman, may I ask a question?
Please.
On resolution 427, which sponsor was not in consent of the amendment?
I was not.
Legislator Bartels.
And my understanding is now I'm the sole sponsor.
Okay. I just, you know, from a rules perspective, you know, the rules say that, you know, we can amend the resolution if the sponsor is present, which you were. You know, if the sponsor is not present, then the process to not approve the amendment moves forward.
Yeah, but she did not agree with the amendment. Is that correct?
That's not the way the rules read, but I'm just going to, you know, I'll leave well enough alone. But the rules say resolutions may be amended or passed in any committee by a vote of the majority of the total members of such committees, so long as a sponsor, if present, consents. You didn't fail to consent last night. You voted against it, but you didn't not consent to the amendment.
Well, common sense says that's
what I consent for last night, and the issue.
That's not consent. If you vote against it,
That's not the way the rules work, Dave. The rules. I would be willing to bet if you pressed control find on our rules, you wouldn't find the words common or sense in there. But that's fair enough.
You just got finished saying if they consent. They didn't consent.
Doesn't say if they vote for it, Mr. Chairman. It does not say if they vote for it. Again, you know, it's going to save the taxpayers a whole lot of money at this point. So I'm not necessarily opposed to it. I just think that, you know, we do have a rules subcommittee. Perhaps we should clarify that, you know, common sense dictates is a new part of the rules.
No, it's consent.
All right.
Legislator Bartels, did you consent to that amendment?
I did not.
Okay.
I'll go
so
back.
Let's move on. I'll take a motion. Excuse me.
That's fine. Let's move on.
You've raised your concern. I'll take a motion to adjourn. Guevara, second.
Second.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
I'm a no on the adjournment, just for the record, please.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Chairwoman. I'm a no. I'm a no.
You hit mute. Sorry, I didn't.
That's
hear
okay. I said I'm a no on adjournment. So just for the record, when the vote is taken on the motion to adjourn, I'm a no.
Okay, so motion to adjourn. We have one no, but the rest.
Are you going to stay on for right. the Thank rest you. Of the night?
Thank you, everyone.
I might have to stay on. I can't get off of this thing.
Oh no!
So somebody kick me out, please. Thank you.